See, it was a little town out in Ohio named Newton Falls. And when these two guys organized this steel mill and set it up, Torby and Sale, so they called it, they named it after this town, Newton Steel. See, that was about 1920. We talking now about 65 years ago now. We talking about 65 years ago. I was about 5 years old when I came to Newton Falls, Ohio. So this was shortly after World War I. They operate this steel mill until 1929 or thereabout, maybe 1930. Then they moved the operation from Newton Falls, Ohio, to here in Monroe, Michigan. That's where the steel mill and I never froze and water cut the hills now. So they started operating this steel mill there under Newton Steel. That's how they never did change the name. It got to be Newton Steel. It was still Newton Steel. When I came to Monroe, I was 19 years old. So we talking 50 years now, because I'll be 69 in August. So we talking 50 years right now. We talking 50 years back. So they operated this steel mill up until, well, I got a job in 1935 when I got out of school.
All right, were most of the workers from Newton's Fall?
Yes, they brought the whole operation up here. They brought all the orders up to him because on account of this waterways down there, and they also put a railroad in there too, see, so they could operate it much cheaper and efficiency. So this was in 1935 when I got a job in the steel mill restaurant. I was working for two Greeks, Gus and Mike. So I worked in the restaurant until 1936, about May of 36, and I asked the foreman, I know him because he come in the restaurant and eat, and I asked him about a job in the steel mill working extra. So he gave me a job in the steel mill working extra. That was in 1936. So I worked there. Now 12-1 of 36, I had to sign up for Social Security. That's when I signed up for Social Security, 12-1-1936. But they didn't start taking Social Security out until January 1st of 1937. So I was in the steel mill working extra at that time.
Did the black people get paid less amount of money than what they white were, people did?
Yes, because we couldn't get no. It was just only three places that colored people could work. That was the steel, that was the bar shell, the pickle house, and the grease house. And they had around about 9 people working in the bar shell, and they had around maybe 12 or maybe 18 in the pickle house. That's where your grandfather worked at, Zerly and Daddy.
Oh, okay. He worked in the pickle house?
Yeah, he worked in the pickle house. That was in 1937. Yeah. All this brought us down to the strike. So they wouldn't let no black people work on the bar shift, but they wouldn't let them work in the pickle room. I mean, in the finishing room, or no other jobs in there because they paid more.
So they discriminated on the wages.
And in the bar shells in the pickle room, they had to work tonnage in order to make any money. If you didn't produce nothing, you didn't get nothing. And so this way, the colored people had to have somewhere around 50,000 pounds of steel. We say maybe 40 tons or maybe 50 tons of steel before they would make a decent wage.
Oh, so they made. Yeah, that y'all had to make so much steel to get that amount of money, or?
Yeah, the guys on the bar shell did. In the pickle room, they worked on tonnage too. But I worked labor, at the time, because I just got in, I was working extra. I got $5 a day, 6 to 2.5, 7 hours, that's all I got.
All right.
5 days a week.
Can the workers in the Newton steel mill be identified with any racial or ethnic group?
Well, it's just only about 5 of them left from that time up until now. I happen to be one of them, because I was young when I got out of school. Stoudemire was one, Alice Stoudemire, Jimmy Philpotts was one, and 3 Bond boys. They died in, one in Detroit and the other 2 died in Ohio.
What about religion? Any religion?
At the time, they had one church here. Maybe it was 2 churches. That was the one on Corner Street, the Old Baptist Church. At the time, this was back in 1930, from 35 up, see, because I joined the church in 1935, 34, when I came in to play ball. That's how I got here. I was here playing ball, you know, trying to get on some team.
What about neighborhoods?
Well, neighborhoods, at that time, it was just only a few black people lived down there on the corner. I said maybe, as I can remember right, it was around about 2 families, or maybe 3, lived on Elmira. That was the Kings, the Covingtons, and I think the Lewis, were the only colored people lived down there on Elmira at the time. And wasn't over a handful lived on Corny. There was around about maybe 4 families lived there, and all the rest of them was white people lived in there.
What about political parties?
Political parties at that time, I was 19, I didn't, all I know then was the Democrats. Because Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he beat Herbert Hoover out for the President of the United States, he come into different work program. This is before your time. He come into the NRA, the CRA, the WPA, and etc. And that's when he set the Social Security program up. This was in 1932, after he beat Howard Hoover out for the presidency.
What about any social classes?
No. What no social classes in?
Social classes.
No. What no social classes. I want to finish bringing you down to this strike. In 1937, long around, I told you I went in the steel mill somewhere in 37, maybe it was about May, April or May, somewhere around like that. And so this colored guy from Detroit named McDonald, he come down and trying to organize this steel mill so they could, so we could get a decent wage, so we could work more than just 2 places there. We couldn't work at the Consolidated Paper Company. We couldn't work at the River Raisin. We couldn't work at the paper products. None of them places that paid a decent, you know, or just a fair wage. The Stoker had a few. The Steelcats had around about a few. A real damn few, too, I'm telling you. And this is all we had.
What was the working conditions like?
In the plant, we had to take the dirtiest, the nastiest, and the worst job it was there. As the foreman told me lots of times, said we didn't hire these white men to do this kind of work. We hired you. You had to do it.
What about the hours?
Well, your hours was cut real short. If they need you, they would let you work to clean up any dirty work you had. They would let you work. If just a fair hour, they wouldn't let you work.
All right. The various departments were like the pickle.
The pickle room and the bar shell, and it was, if I remember right, it was 3 people working in the grease house. He had to bring grease to all the rolling mills throughout the steel mill.
Did you have a good relationship with the management at the plant?
You didn't, at that time, you might would see somebody that was in high management. Now, my phone was Nick Ritzy. And I seen him once in a while when he come to the restaurant or else. This is the only time you see him, you might get a chance to talk to him. All the supervisors was white. They didn't have a color supervisor at the time. They had an overseer in the grease house, but that was all.
What did you have? Was there any relationships between the workers?
No. There was no relationship there because somewhere along the line they started a recreation program. They started a baseball team. The pickle room and the bar shell had just enough to have a baseball team. And we played in a rival between the other partners of Steel Mill. See?
Yeah.
Which was the finishing room, the hot meal, such as that. See? That's the only relationship we had, you know, with them at that time. And back when this work in 1937 went down to somewhere around August, if I remember right, after they organized it. Black people at that time didn't know what union was.
Yeah.
See, we was lucky to have a job, so we wasn't trying to get in the union. Just the white people, the one that organized this thing, this color guy was the head of it. He come down from Detroit.
Yeah. We seen a silent movie in class on that when they showed the strike.
Yes.
When they was, you know, pushing. Did any black people participate in the strike?
I know of, you mean the break the strike?
Yeah. Was any, you know, like, was any of them with the strikers to get back into work?
No. Now, see, what happened there is I know one guy named Sam Stewart. He was with these pilots to open this, to get in and work, break this strike so they could get in and work. And that's when Mayor Nags, he was the mayor of Monroe at that time, Chief Fisher was the chief of police, Joe Parley was the sheriff. So they organized these people. All of them wasn't from out of town, most of them were. Lots of them from town here. Yeah. I know some of them are still around right now.
Okay, what was Frank Murphy like? You remember him?
Frank Murphy was the governor.
Yeah. What was he like?
He was against labor, as I remember right. We talking 50 years ago, and I was pretty young. I wasn't interested in striking working condition at the time, see. But as far as I remember, he wasn't for labor. At that time, was nobody for labor, just the working type of people was. So when they organized this posse, they got together up there in the Little Raisin parking lot. And they, if I remember right, it seemed like to me they had bands around on the arm so they could identify one another. So,
Republic still have a big part in Newton Steel.
Okay, here what happened now. After they broke this strike with these posse, they went down in there and just beat the hell out of the pickets and everything. And run them all down in the marsh and they did some everything. I wasn't in there, I was young. I went across the river and watched them over there by Peterson Fish House. And they throw tear gas in there, and when the pickets started running, they got rushed in there with these sticks and started pounding on them and everything. So they broke the picket line, and everybody went to work.
Yeah.
This is what they wanted to do.
So they had a certain time they were supposed to open up the plant?
Open the picket line up?
Yeah.
Yes, they had a certain time. If I remember right, it was somewhere, maybe around noon, between 9 and 3 o'clock. Because I was across the river at the time, watching, sitting on my car, watching them start to fight because the tear gas, after they had the tear gas, some of them drifted across the river there. But now, what happened to the Republic Steel? You say they had some interest in it. Sales and Torrick run the Newton Steel. But after they broke this strike, Newton Steel didn't work over a month, or maybe 2 months. I couldn't say. It could have been as much as 3 months. They went to work. Everybody sell down. But they stopped taking the steel in Detroit because it wasn't union made. Hudson Motor Car, Ford, and them other places stopped taking the steel because it wasn't union made. Newton Steel had it sitting there on their hand. So Republic Steel come in, they bought this plant, they taking the plant over. They said, we'll take the plant over. So they changed the name in from Newton Steel to the Republic Steel. When they changed the name to the Republic Steel, they worked for a short while after that, and it was choked off again because it still wasn't union made. And when it choked off again, the plant went down. So we talking about moving up from 37 now to about 38 or 39. And after they went out, a strip mill come in there. See, that plant been sold maybe 4 or 5 times. I don't know all the people did have. There's a strip mill come in there. They run, cut steel and circulate, you know, through.
Well, when all those other plants, like you said, you know, there's a lot of other plants coming in to buy it. You know, how Newton Steel was sold sometimes. Did they bring in their workers?
Most of them did, but actually, if I can recall, they did hire just a few from here, but still, them was white people, though. The strip mill. See, most all of them was white. I don't remember any color being in there. And then after the strip mill went out, they couldn't make it because I don't think that steel wasn't union made either. And they wouldn't take it in Detroit. Anytime they had to got to the place, if you weren't a union man, they just wouldn't take the steel.
The steel had to be union made before Detroit took it?
Before they would take it. Yeah. We had some scab, you know, scab steel. Some places taking scab steel, we call it, you know, because it wasn't union made. But after the strip mill went out, three or four more other places. I know Kessel Hayes Wheel Company come in there, and Alcoa come in there making. We talking about back then in 39 when Hitler started World War II. And they making cylinder heads for airplanes at the time. And then in 1940, I believe it was, I got a job on a construction gang. We were renovating this mill, we were fixing up so some other plant could take it over. This was around 1940. We couldn't get a job at the Consolidated. I asked the guy about a job over at Consolidated. He said, we can't get a job here because white women work here. So I worked over there for a while as a washing car. So this taking us right on up to 1941 when I got a job at the Monroe Steel Camp to play ball with.
When they had the pickers, the people that they had walking around the iron bands, They so-called security or whatever they was, they just went around beating the people for the fun of it, or?
No, these people, they deputized these people. Yeah. Chief Fisher and Mary Nag deputized these people, and Joe Barley, they deputized these people. So these people was deputized. They just like any other policeman, but they didn't have no gun.
So, they just carried those clubs.
That's right. They carried the club. And lots of them had on them blue uniforms, too. See, these people deputize. That's what happened. They deputized these people to break the strike, which Newton Steele paid for the whole thing, you know.
Yeah. Describe the city of Monroe when it was in, you know, during the Depression. What was it like?
Well, as I said, I didn't get here until 1935. And brother, it was rough. Wasn't no welfare. I know what it was like down in Ohio.
Yeah. Do you know if the Newton plant was important to the city of Monroe?
Was it important?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. See, that was the only steel plant here. And they could import the steel through water or rail service, see. And they didn't have to go in Detroit. So it was very important. But your paper mill at that time was the biggest thing going here. Off the head, but still, that was all white. Grove Raisin Consolidated and Paper Product. That's where Union Camp is. They changed the name to Union Camp. But it was Paper Products at the time.
What was your thoughts and feelings, you know, what was happening during the strike?
Well, as I say, I just had got out of school. And I didn't know nothing about no union.
All you really was looking for was a job.
That's right.
When you came to Monroe.
I had to survive, because I didn't have nothing to eat, nowhere to stay, and I had to survive. I had to take anything they give me. If I remember right, I worked about $2 or $2.50 a day out there washing dishes at the steel mill.
Did the strike have any lasting impacts on the city or the people in Monroe?
Yes. Because this strike, once they closed the steel mill down, it went out of business. You didn't have the revenue coming in Ford Motor, Hudson Motor Car at the time up there in Detroit. See, they were buying the steel. They were making living. But the guys on the finishing mill and the hot mill, they was making the bucks. But no collectors making nothing. Yeah, we were lucky to have a job.
Lucky to get in there.
Shoot, I had to wash cars. We built that road, Front Street, from the South Side Consolidated down to the turn base. That was on the WPA. He's the only job we could get, man. WPA and NRA. And other things like that. This is the only job we could get. And that all we could work was, 2 days a week or maybe 3 days a week. And that was it.
Do you recall Philip Murphy?
Philip Murphy was affiliated with the CIO. He brought the CIO in after I went to the work steel cast. See, we was a member of the UAW, our local, 859. That's why this building up here on Front Street, the Union Hall, is named Philip Murray Building. See, he the one set it up with the UAW. See, because CIO, I don't know if you know what that means.
Yeah, I know what it means.
Okay, Franklin Roosevelt set that up when he got in office. He said, I'm going to set up a CIO, that's the Congress Industrial Organization. That's when unions started going up under that. See, we was the UAW's CIO. And the steel workers, they went up from the UAW, the miners went up under CIO shooting. And that's what started. He the one called labor people to make a decent living. Franklin down the road with that thing.
What about Fred Mayberry? You recall him?
No, I don't recall Fred Mayberry. It seems like to me that name is kind of familiar to me.
Outside organizer?
Yes.
Richard Taylor, outside organizer.
Outside. He You're just taking me up to 1941, as I say, when I went to work for Steel Cats. And I worked there 2 years before I was inducted into the Army.
But you never did go back to work for Newton?
No, it was nobody else.
Nobody went back?
No, wasn't no Newton Steel. Newton Steel went out, and the Republican Steel taking it over, taking the interest, bought it out. But they didn't last a short while. I couldn't tell you exactly how long they lasted. They just only lasted a short while because, as far as I remember, the steel wasn't union made, and the place in Detroit wouldn't take union steel at that time, unless it was union made.
What about Howard Martin? He was president of the UAW.
At one time, he was Howard Martin in Macy. He was secretary of treasurer. There was one guy in there before Macy. I don't know what his name was. But I'm talking about from when we got in it in 1941. We got in the UAW in 1941. And some of the people was already in the UAW at the time because some of them I didn't recognize. Only one I recognized, that was Macy and this other color guy, Buddy Battles. I recognized two of them old people like that. And Mr. Brown, I'm forgetting that what his first name was. I recognize him. Of course, them the people helped set it up, you know, they helped set the whole thing up.
Why did the people join or oppose the CIO?
Opposed to the union? Well, just maybe, what I see here was mostly the colored people at the time because we got the dirtiest job and we was glad to get anything and we didn't want to rock the boat and get kicked out, see. But as time went on, we really seen what the union meant to us. That meant we had a job, and come through layoff, they had to go by seniority, and they were setting a pension plan up for all the workers, and we got in on that.
Could the black people do anything, you know, and Mineral around that time?
No.
Hey, did y'all, you know, y'all had like a limit space where y'all could go?
Right. Now, they tell me, this was way back before, in the 1800s. They say some lived up here, but I know from 20s up to the 30s, all upstate Alabama, they were just limited to that. You know, they just couldn't buy it. Yeah, you know, a house would cost, so maybe you could get a house then for maybe $500, maybe $1,000. And because I got one to buy it, hey, what's $100?
Yeah, they raised the price up.
Oh, they were big jobs. So, and this was all the way from the beginning of time. See, because my grandfather, he was born in slavery. He was born somewhere around 1840. That's when he was born. Well, he didn't die until 1930 or 32 or 33, somewhere in there. So he lived to be 90, 92 or 93 years old, and he used to tell us about these things. Some of it I can remember myself when I was 5 years old. But this was in Georgia, though. When I was in Georgia, we didn't have a chance. They come take care of things, God.